Ralph White is managing associate general counsel for procurement law at the Government Accountability Office and looking at the issue of bid protests in government. Ralph, you have a couple of myths that you wanted to address that we spoke about yesterday. The first one is that the number of bid protests are higher than ever. That's one that I hear from people in industry all the time. Is that really a myth or is that true? Thanks for being on today, Ralph.
Well, you're welcome, Francis, and thank you for having me. In fact, that is a myth. That is the completely, demonstrably not accurate. We've had the bid protest jurisdiction at GAO since 1984, at least since 1984 by statute. We have reported the numbers each year of bid protest filings, and in the first 10 years or so, protest filings were higher than they are now. We're at about the 11th highest year of the 30. But what is true is that protests were high and then began to fall in 1994. One of the things that happened was the passage of the Federal Acquisition Streamlining Act, which created a preference for multiple award task order contracts, and no forum, not GAO and not the Court of Federal Claims, had jurisdiction to hear protests about those procurements. So protests fell steadily over the next 7 years to a low in about 2001. They stayed at that fairly low level, and they started back up around 2008. And what happened in 2008 was Congress decided that the GAO, at least, should have jurisdiction to hear protests over the award of task orders valued over $10 million. So to just answer your myth question, this is not the highest that protests have been. It's about the 11th highest in the last 30 years.
So there is certainly a perception out there, though, that that's the case. And that kind of leads me to myth number two, which is tied up with it a little bit. And that is that all the important procurements get protested. Is that true or false in your experience, Ralph?
That's not accurate either. You know, there have been some academic studies that attempted to nail down the percentage of federal procurements that get protested. I think you've talked in the past about the one that Dan Gordon did at George Washington University. I think he came up with a number of something like half of 1%. One of the interesting things is that perception is so widely spread that we've actually seen news stories in the last year when a protest wasn't filed. One of the most recent ones about 3 weeks ago involved a procurement at DOD for computerizing healthcare records. DOD had an interesting acronym for that. I think they called it the dim sum procurement. And I'm sure that you've probably talked about it in the past. But there were a series of news articles when no protest was filed involving that procurement. And we saw it earlier in the year, a New York Times article over a decision by companies not to protest the award of one of the vehicle contracts that the Army awarded. So, you know, it isn't happening on every procurement. And there are plenty of large procurements where it doesn't happen.
We spoke about some of the big ones where there are protests, and maybe that's what generates the perception that these things get protested all the time.
Sure. I mean, I think really we still live in an environment that was influenced by the large Boeing protest in 2008 involving the tanker. But even as recently as earlier this year, there was a very large procurement conducted by NASA for the award of, I think it was called the Commercial Crew Carrier contract, in which NASA was going from three contractors to two to build a vehicle to take astronauts back and forth to the space station. Sierra Nevada filed a protest when they were excluded and the pool of contractors went from three to two. The awards went to Boeing and to SpaceX. That protest generated a lot of press and media coverage. It ultimately was denied here at GAO, but I think the kind of coverage that some of these large procurements get contribute to the sense that that there's a higher number of procurements that get protested than there actually are.
And that you mentioned the news accounts of various procurements that are not protested. And I have anecdotal evidence that I hear from both contracting officers in government and from industry that that perception influences the dialogue between the companies and the vendors, because at least the assumption is that there's going to be some headroom built into the timelines of procurements to allow for a protest. So even though it's not reality, this perception is influencing behavior on both sides of the equation, it seems, Ralph.
Right. And in fact, I think when the Competition and Contracting Act was passed in 1984, the message from the Congress was clearly to procurement agencies, you need to anticipate the possibility that you might have a 100-day delay, which is now the statutory requirement for us to decide a protest, in building your time for conducting a procurement. And Congress also gave the authority to agencies to do an override of the stay when agencies feel they can't stop, even for the 100-day time that might be involved in a GAO review. And even as I talk about this, I feel compelled to say that about half of the protests that are filed with GAO are gone within the first 30 days, either for procedural problems in the protest filing itself, or because rather than litigate the case, the agency takes corrective action, or sometimes protesters withdraw, and it happens hundreds of times every year. And we don't know sometimes why they have withdrawn. Maybe they've thought differently about it. Maybe they've gotten more information about why they didn't succeed. There are any number of reasons.
Ralph White's Managing Associate General Counsel for Procurement Law at the Government Accountability Office. A couple of trends that I've observed and talked to others about, and I'd like to ask your observations about as well, Ralph. Do you see more small businesses protesting now than you have before? What's the curve look like on that?
You know, I don't think the curve is changing, but you do hear more about some of the small business protests. They run, it's not a straight 50-50, but I think some years they're close to 45% of our protest caseload. Part of that is because a company is not required to hire an attorney to file a bid protest. They can come here and basically write out in a letter in plain English what their complaint is. And in fact, one of those sets of cases, what we often call the kingdomware cases, actually started here with very small businesses challenging VA contracts that the small businesses thought should have been set aside for businesses owned by veterans who became disabled in the course of their service.
And that's where I wanted to go with that. Is it your sense that the small business protests generally have to do with the terms of the award or with the set-aside part of the provision?
Well, actually, they can be any of them, and in fact, there are all kinds. There are challenges to the set-aside schemes, both small business or whether it should be 8A or whether it should be SDVO, Service Disabled Veteran-Owned Small Business. There's that whole set of things that have to be raised prior to the time that proposals, quotes, or bids are due. But there's also a fair number of small businesses who want a better explanation for why they weren't selected. And sometimes they feel that they don't get that, or sometimes they don't understand why the award didn't go to the lowest priced offeror. And sometimes it just needs to be explained why it was that the agency made that decision or that the agency was acting within their rights to make a best value trade-off.
I have a thought about that, and I'll come back to that close to the end of our conversation, Ralph. The other trend I wanted to ask you about is your observations in the ratios of sustained versus denied. Has that changed much over the years, and is it changing now?
Actually, it has fallen in the last few years in terms of our sustain rate has fallen. And at the same time, our effectiveness rate, which is a number we have reported for 20 years or so, has actually increased. And what that means, I think, is that in our annual report to Congress, which is available on our website at gao.gov, we report an effectiveness rate that is comprised of two numbers. It is either the cases that we sustain, which, and you can see the exact number in fiscal 14, that was 72, or they are cases where the agency voluntarily took corrective action in the face of a protest rather than go forward to a decision. And the vast majority of those happen in the first 30 days. But those two numbers together are 43% of all protests filed, which, if you look at the cases closed in fiscal 2014, which was 2,458, that's about 1,100 cases. And when you subtract the 72 that were sustained, you end up with very close to 1,000 cases in which the agencies are taking voluntary corrective action. I think that that has had an impact on our sustain rate because when agencies are pulling back procurements, I have to think that they're doing that for one of two reasons. Either they're looking at the arguments that the protester has raised and concluding that some of those arguments have merit, or they're looking at the file and preparing an answer to the protest, and they see other issues that cause them to conclude that they don't want to go forward to a decision on the merits, even if the protester hasn't yet identified them. They're probably thinking, well, they'll spot them when we hand over the documents and give the agency report. So I think that that amount of corrective action is having a downward impact on our sustain rate, which in fiscal 14 was 13% of decisions on the merits were sustained.
Final thought, the observation I mentioned a few moments ago when we were talking about small business protests, Ralph, and that is the trend that I hear, especially from procurement shops across government and a little bit from the vendors, but more so on the government side, is when, and this is the words of the procurement officials, when we do a big procurement that we think might be protested, we've decided at a couple of agencies that we're just going to sit down and open the books up to everybody and let them come in and see exactly why they didn't get it. We're going to answer every single question that we can answer until everybody's satisfied. And the takeaway from that is that the agencies that are doing that are seeing far, far, far fewer protests than they've seen before, because at that point, there's no reason to protest unless you really, really think the agency got it wrong.
Right. In fact, I'm hearing much the same thing that you're hearing, that this effort on the part of some agencies to do a better job at debriefing unsuccessful offerors on why they weren't selected for the award of a contract has really beneficial effects on their understanding, because the thing that I think about in some of these cases, if we're talking about a single award contract and there are 6, 7, 8 offerors or vendors, most businesses understand that that means that 6 or 7 of them are going to lose and only one of them is going to win. And I think business people understand that. And if the agencies do a good job of explaining why they made the decision they made, unless the company feels that they've just flatly gotten it wrong, I think that they sometimes can hear that and walk away from the procurement without filing a protest.
Ralph White of the Government Accountability Office, excellent observations, and I thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
All right.